I do remember what I'm doing. Look at that.
Oh, yeah!
Hey, y'all. It is Rachel and Eddie, and this is my so-called mess. And welcome to it. And welcome, everybody, and welcome, Eddie. And I don't know, I'm just saying end over and over again. Eddie, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little congested from either a virus or allergies. I don't know. How do you tell the difference?
I don't know how you tell the difference anymore. I feel like you can't, but I may make that up. I don't know.
I've been feeling pretty shitty since we got back from Disney on Sunday. And like Monday, I just had no energy. I had to take a bunch of naps. And then I had a doctor's appointment on Tuesday, and I was like, I don't know if I can go in because I'm sick, which is hilarious, right?
Yeah.
Like, the doctor is for when you're sick.
Right.
But I had made this appointment like a year ago, and it's like, I think I'm supposed to be healthy at this one.
Did you go?
But yeah, I went, and I wore a mask. It was okay. But it's like, it's really hard for me to tell if I'm ever sick or allergies.
Yeah.
And I was just saying allergies, but, you know, I feel like that was more than allergies, maybe. But it happened as soon as we got back to Athens. Like, Orlando is, like, 80 degrees and, like, tropical breeze and shorts. And then we got back home and it was, like, freezing the next day. And we were like, oh, dang, I forgot it could be cold still. Like, we kind of switched into summer mode, but then...
Yeah, but is it still cold there?
Yeah, it's still cold.
Yuck. How was Disney?
Disney was fun. You know, the kids are older. Last time we went was 2 years ago. It has new challenges when they get older. But we did some stuff we'd never done before. Like, we went to the place, the Hollywood Studios, and it has, like, the live Indiana Jones show and like live performances. And we all thought that was really cool. I kind of feel like it was right up our alley. The Muppet 3D Adventure was there.
The Muppet Adventure?
Yeah, it's like a kind of old ride. Like, I don't know when they made it, but it's like Muppets in, and like it's a Muppet cartoon that's in 3D. So you're wearing 3D goggles or 3D glasses. But then also you're in an auditorium with puppets. So it's kind of like a immersion experience.
So was Animal cool. there?
No. The two, you know, those two curmudgeonly old dudes were there. Kermit, Fozzie, Gonzo, Rizzo.
But no, Animal's my favorite.
Yeah, I feel like Animal's my favorite. Of like Gen X kids. Is that you?
Yeah.
And he, I think it's because he could play the drums and disregarded the rules, perhaps.
I think because he disregarded the, I didn't care about the drums, but he was like,
okay,
disregarded the rules and just like, bah! Like him and the Tasmanian devil, those two things are just like, bah! But they can also be a little quiet at times. Like they're either quiet sitting there or they're just like big and wild.
Yeah, I wonder why those two missed me. Like, I remember everyone loving Animal, but thinking like, I'm gonna get into Animal. And then like when I closely like actually watched Muppet stuff, I'm like, oh, Animal is just like a nonverbal, like a nonverbal person who just doesn't have the ability to express his emotion through anything except for anger or rage. And he probably has some like emotional issues that are from his childhood that are unexplorable because he can't really talk. And, like, I had all these opinions about him. Like, he's too complicated. Just give me like a Fozzie Bear or like a,
but I feel like Animal is also like kind of a background character that everyone like, you either loved, like, Animal wasn't as important in the cast.
How do you feel about Beaker? There's that green scientist face kid.
Yeah.
And then Beaker was his little meat guy.
Oh, yeah.
That would hang out.
Yeah. I like the smaller characters. I like him. I like the Swedish chef.
Yep. Swedish chef was there.
I wasn't
Muppets
a fan.
It's a strange thing. Like, didn't Jim Henson die in the 90s or like early 2000s? I feel like this was before he died. Maybe they wrote this. After we got done with it, though, Meg was like, you know what that reminds me of? Captain EO. And I was like, is Captain EO still a thing?
Because I would totally.
Oh, man. So Captain EO was a ride at MGM Studios, which became Hollywood Studios. And it's a 3D Michael Jackson adventure in space with, like, George Lucas level puppets and, like, you know, like Star Wars style.
But with Michael Jackson music?
So there is one song. I think it's on Bad, the song. So it's not like an original.
Okay.
But, yeah, but dang. That was not at Hollywood Studios. Although my kids do like Michael Jackson. My oldest kid is a Michael Jackson fan. So that would be right up her alley.
Have you?
I don't know. So,
oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you can go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to complain.
No.
They had fun. They are a little bit more critical of things, and they also feel really safe there, so they want to just kind of wander off. And, you know, my oldest kid's almost 10, and it is like, yeah, you could go to the gift shop without me, or, you know, kind of, it's kind of at that weird age where it's like, I've been so vigilant watching you for so long, but I trust you to return to me.
That's gotta be hard to start to do that.
Yeah, especially at the most crowded place in the world. It was pretty crowded for March.
Because spring break. Spring break!
Yeah. You know, I also had, I'm gonna just put all my Disney stuff up at the top, and then we won't have to talk about it anymore. But we stayed at Magic Kingdom one night until the fireworks. And I had an experience with fireworks, honestly. I think that they are really, the way Disney does fireworks is really like a moving experience. Mm. Like, it definitely, they've somehow like timed the explosions to music, even though like the speed of light and speed of sound differ. Like, you see the flashes and then you hear the explosion with the music. And I don't know, man, there was this, like, at the end of the night, at the end of the fireworks performance, like, Tinkerbell flies down from the castle. So they put like a zip line and then somebody in a Tinkerbell costume and then like fly them down from the castle. And I was like legitimately scared for this person. I was like kind of shaking, like, this isn't supposed to be happening. And I feel like it was a real emotional experience.
Interesting.
Nobody else liked it in my family, though.
No one did?
Just me. No, they all were like, that was dumb and crowded. Why did we stay there for that?
and you were having a moment.
I was like, guys, that was so fantastic and amazing.
Interesting. Wait, is Magic Kingdom, is that where Mickey lives?
It's where the castle is. It's, if you went to Disneyland, it's what Disneyland is.
Okay. I haven't been to Disneyland since I was like, I don't even know how old, but I'm not like a Disney person, I guess.
Yeah.
And,
no, that's fine.
But like, I understand the lore to it and like, why people would love to go there. But I don't like costume, like people dressed up with masks on. We've talked about that before. And so like, the idea of going scares me. But also, I think I find it fascinating, the Disney fans who, like, go there for their wedding. Or, like, they have every year they go as adults with their Disney ears and all their costumes and dress up. Did you dress up?
Yeah. No. Last time we were there, like I said, was 2 years ago. And Meg bought, like, those little stud Mickey Mouse earrings for me, and I wore those one day, but I couldn't take it to the level. Like, some people do like assimilate the fashion of Disney into their lives. And, you know, while I was there, while I was in the having Disney fever, I was thinking I could be a person who wears like Mickey Mouse on something. And I thought probably my favorite look of like Disney people is like an oversized red sweatshirt with just the original Mickey Mouse on it. Have you seen that before?
Maybe.
It's just like a sweatshirt with Mickey Mouse on it. Okay. That's all it is. And I'm like, I appreciate that. I could do it. But, you know, I couldn't ever pull the trigger on becoming a Disney fashion person, honestly.
Yeah, and I feel like people, like, when you watch them go and they're adults and they go all the time, but it's like every time they go, they seem to have a religious experience.
Yeah. It's, I think it's fun while you're there. But on, like, the last night, I was like, let's not come here for a really long time. And me and Meg were like, yeah.
Did you
like,
go to Animal Kingdom?
We've got to get out of here. We went to Animal Kingdom last time, and the kids didn't like it.
Okay.
But I would totally go to Animal Kingdom.
I think it's one place like, I would go.
It's what?
That might be the one place I would go.
It's like one of the nicest zoos in America. It's probably like on par with San Diego.
Oh, nice. Okay. I haven't been to San Diego Zoo. I love... No, that's an aquarium. I forget which zoo it is. Oh, Bronx Zoo. I used to go to Bronx Zoo a lot.
Yeah, it's just a really, really nice zoo. And you can tell that they, like, treat the animals humanely and stuff.
Okay, I'm putting up a fake GoFundMe. I'm not really doing GoFundMe, but if anyone wants to chip in for my next whatever's coming up, I'm graduating this summer. I have, you know, my next birthday, my next I wake up, my next masturbation. I don't know. Give me some, if you want to chip in for my fund. I'm trying to raise money for myself. I'm not really trying to raise money, but I want to go about, I think it's like an hour and a half from here. There's this like ranch place and they have different animals. Like you can have lunch where the giraffes are there and you can stay there where there are like animals nearby, but you can go swimming with the otters.
Oh, cool. That sounds fun. Like otters sound fun to swim with. Yeah. $500 per otter?
I think it's like $500 to live otters. Or you can have maybe it's different. You can stay, like, you can stay over there night. You can just go swim with the otters. There's, like, a whole thing. I just want to hang out with the otters. I don't care.
Man,
about
speaking of MJ, isn't Neverland Ranch in Texas? I mean, I know Texas is huge, but where at in Texas is Neverland Ranch?
I thought Neverland Ranch was in California, no?
I thought it was in Texas. I guess it makes more sense if it's in California.
Yeah, I don't know. But you were talking about...
I'll look it up, because that would be dumb if I just said that. Go ahead, keep going.
You were talking about the auditorium experience. Have you heard of, is it 4D or 4K movie theater experience?
4D?
Something like that?
I've heard of both things. Yeah, I've heard of both things.
Like you sit and it's in a smaller theater usually, and the chairs move. So, like, action, like, the chairs move. Somebody told me, like, I don't know if this is true because I didn't look it up, and I thought you might know, that if there's, like, something, like, smoky on the screen, like, there'll be, like, smoke in the theater, like, a little bit of, like, dry ice, I guess. There'll be mist in the theater.
Yeah. That sounds like something they do at Disney World. Yeah.
So now they're doing it at, like, movie theaters. For action.
Ooh, I don't like that. I don't know. Either. I feel like I didn't really like it at Disney World either.
I didn't like it whenever I did it. Yeah.
Like Fozzie like leaned forward and he had a flower on his lapel and it shot water out and the 3D glasses made it look like water was coming out, but then they like dripped water and I was
that's gross.
I don't want water on me.
That's gross. I'm not a fan.
Neverland Ranch is in close to Los Olivos in California.
Okay.
So I'm just dumb.
No, you're not dumb. You don't need to.
No, I don't think I'm dumb. Sorry, I'm just, I feel like I'm not, I should know more about Michael Jackson. I feel like I should know more about Michael Jackson's legacy.
One of my favorite Michael Jackson songs was when he was really little. I believe it was with Diana Ross, but that could be so wrong, so don't quote me on that. Excuse me. But it was in the Free to Be You and Me album. I don't know if you know Free to Be You and Me, but that album rocks. That Free to Be You and Me was the best thing ever. It's like, I'm aging myself now, but it was like what hippie parents made their kids listen to. And they had a song called, oh my God, what's it called? It's called like, I'm Not Pretty, but I don't think that's right. It might be Pretty. Excuse me.
So Free to Be You and Me was a compilation album?
Yes. And they also had like a video. Oh my God, it was from 1972. But it was like,
the only Diana Ross song on here is called When We Grow Up.
Yes, and I believe it was Michael Jackson. Let me see. And I hope I'm not.
I don't know. It seems like they put his name on it.
Maybe they took When We Grow Up, Michael Jackson. Yep, it's. Oh, that's on the album, but I guess there was a live version maybe where it was Michael Jackson and Roberta Flack, who recently passed away.
Nice.
When I Grow Up. And that's where they had the song about. Like boys having dolls. William wants a doll. I don't know. There's so many good songs in there. It's a great album. I highly recommend everybody listening to it. You'll recognize some songs just from like, in a land where the river runs free, where you and me. And Rosie Greer, the big football player, sings a song called It's All Right to Cry.
Yeah, no, I'm not familiar with this album. I have it pulled up here.
Okay, I highly recommend it. It's like very 70s feeling, but
I bet it slaps.
It does. It does. It's fire. But okay. So you can't see behind me, but there's a window that way, and there's a window there. Okay, mm-hmm. I live in my apartment building in the part where I'm not facing a street. Behind me is like dirt, a couple trees. A tree had fallen on my window. And there's like a industrial building and a car care place or like a car fix it. And there's a little alleyway that's just rocks with a little bit of grass. It's a little hilly. There's a little rock hill kind of. When I first moved in and I was like thinking about Austin, I'm like, I'm surprised we don't have more people that people haven't tried to tent it over here. Because there's a good bit of space. I mean, it is hilly. It's rocks. It's not the most comfortable. But there's a little walkway. But then I'm like, oh, but it's in between buildings. So it's been like no one, every once in a while, because people also walk their dogs through the little path by my window. I mean, I'm on the second story. But I was.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of a traveled path.
Like, it's traveled just for like dog walking, because you can get from building A to like back to the dog park, I think, that we have, you know, in our setup. But like, it's never been like. Where people tried to set up camp.
Okay.
So maybe it was a week ago, I was looking outside my window and I'm like, what the fuck? I heard people talking, I think. And then I see these three people sitting there. And sometimes people will ride a bike through who are homeless. Or someone will be like cut through, you know, but no one's ever like just really sat here. There's three people sitting there with piles, like bags. I'm like, crap, is this going to become, and I don't want to sound like a shithead, but there needs to be something done for the homeless population. I think it's horrible that so many people are homeless, but I also worry about my safety if suddenly a homeless camp is set up behind me, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm watching them, and I, all of a sudden I see them break out. It's either, I took my camera and like, you know, got a little bigger. They had either a crack pipe or a meth pipe, because I could see the glass part, so it was thin glass.
All right.
And I'm like, great, now they're like, you know, smoking crack. Like, and that was one of the days when it was like high fire. We were on like a 5 for wildfire, which is like the likelihood that it could happen, like don't go outside with fire kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm like, great, they're smoking there, they're all fucked up, they're also smoking crack or meth. And so I got this panic that they're going to set an ember on fire, and then it's going to hit my building, And what do I do? What do I do in that situation? I tried to, like, because I like to have an escape plan. So I got my,
But you can't use the elevator.
Correct.
You gotta use the stairs.
Right, and I never use the elevator. But you never use my elevator.
Did you take inventory of, like, these are the things I'm bringing?
Well, so I was like, okay, well, I'm in grad school, so I really need my laptop.
Oh, yeah. So I totally left.
Yeah, so I packed my laptop in a bag with my passports.
Mm-hmm.
And my purse, like my bag that had like credit cards and ID and my keys, my car keys.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I was thinking, like, should I have packed a bag with clothes? Like, I don't know. And thankfully, obviously, there was no fire, but I couldn't sleep because I was like, if it burns, like, it's going to burn my wall, which is going to be pretty fast moving. So what if the fire alarm doesn't go off fast enough? What if I'm half asleep? Yeah, I just couldn't sleep because of all that. And then I was thinking, like, what if my mom's stuff am I going to lose? And then I'm like, it's just stuff, you know, but I can never replace the stuff that was, like, has her name on it. Like, this pot, that this bowl that everyone signed at her birthday party 1 year. So it has all these people's signatures etched into it, which is such a cool thing. But
yeah, you got to save that.
Yes, but I was like, do I save that? Do I, like, run with this heavy pot? Anyway.
I think so.
Okay, yeah. So that's good to know. And I was like, I was thinking I probably need my school books, at least for this semester. But I was like, fuck that. If my professors aren't going to give me a little slack about writing posts because my stuff was lost in a fire, then that's on them. So anyway, it's fine. I woke up, and I don't think they've been back, but there was two men and one woman, and the woman had this bag of clothes that she started going through, and then I think she was about to change, and then I looked back out, they were all gone, and I saw, like, one guy come back, and then there was a huge couch cushion, but he was not there long, so I haven't seen anybody back. However, so now I've created this mystery in my head, the woman's bag of clothes is now thrown all over the place. She had started dumping out her clothes, like, looking for something, and then just left, but I never saw them leave. And now it got windy last night, so her clothes are all, like, dispersed all over. This was at least a week or so ago. She hasn't been back, but there seems to be something added that I can't, because of the angle, I can't see what it is. If it was just something else thrown from the wind, or if there's, like, something set up. But if they did set something else up, why would they keep her clothes all thrown around and getting ruined?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been a little worried about that.
Yeah, it's interesting to talk about homelessness. My kids bring it up a lot because they'll see a homeless person and they'll be like, well, how do you become homeless? And that's a tough question to answer, especially to somebody who is new to this world. And it makes me think, like, well, everybody could be homeless, right? Everybody has the potential to be homeless. I think nobody really wants to be homeless, although I guess some people do want to be homeless.
Some people do.
And, like, for some people it's a choice. Some people have, like, mental illness that prevents them from living in society in the way that society is structured. Having been punk rock at one point, I could see how, like, you're too punk rock to pay rent.
Yeah.
And that's a way to be homeless. But yeah, one of my kids is in this, like, community helper program, and they assembled these, like, care packages to give to homeless people. And it has, like, shaving cream and, water, bottled water and canned food and stuff like that. And, like, soap. And she was supposed to give it to a homeless person. I was like, I don't think so. I don't think you're ready for that. Like, you're 8. Like, it's probably not a good idea.
Yeah. I like the idea of it. But did you buy Pop Top cans?
They did it all at school. We didn't buy it.
Because people don't think about them. This is just something I learned from work volunteering at the Athens Emergency Food Bank when my girl empowerment group used to volunteer there. That I just didn't think about getting, making sure all cans are Pop Top.
Because they don't always have can openers.
Yeah.
I guess you could get them a can opener. I think they are pop top. It's sitting in our car. It's been sitting in our car for like 5 months now because we're just not like actively driving to the park or, you know, walking under bridges and stuff.
It is a lot to like, do too.
I guess you could just go downtown. We don't go downtown at all.
I know. You could go ahead and just put that bag inside one of the free food pantries.
Yeah. Yeah, but the idea of homelessness is more pervasive, and the ability to define it and kind of solve it is—it seems like impossible because there's so many different reasons why one would be homeless,
right? And like and, the people who want to be homeless—that's not going to be that—that's going to be that's a whole different thing, right? Because, but for people who either there was like kicked out of their house when they were young for whatever reason and never got their footing. Drugs, mental health issues, that needs a whole, like, agency of work, which, as you know, all these agencies that help people are going by the wayside, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could talk about that, too. But I'm going to point out the interesting thing to me was that you, you saw some homeless people. You've always thought this area was for homeless people. Like, you saw this area in between buildings, and you're like, perfect for homeless people. Mm-hmm. Then some homeless people showed up. Then they were going to burn down your home. Mm-hmm. The homeless people were going to burn your home down. And you were going to pack a bag and become a homeless person.
Well, I had a plan. So this was the rest of my plan.
Your plan didn't include a large bag of clothes that would later be strewn about in the field behind a building, like that one lady did.
Right.
She did it wrong. I don't know if she had any sentimental bowls with her.
No, my plan was and I have so much sentimental stuff that I like hold on to. My plan was that I have renter's insurance and a pretty high amount. So like I can get new clothes, but then I thought, but what am I going to do for the next few days? I didn't think that. And I'm like, oh my God, all my skin.
You can't get those new, you know, those Lululemon pants that are so expensive and the ones that fit you just right, you know?
Yeah.
Like, grab those.
Yeah, I don't have the, but I have stuff. I'm like, I thought about, and I'm like, this sounds dumb. I'm like, do I just have an emergency bag packed just in case that I could, like, take stuff out of when I need it? But that seems like, but my goal was to get out.
You always talk about your go bag, right? Like, your flee the country bag.
Right, but I don't really have one. Like, I have an idea about it, but I need to actually make one. So,
You need a flee the country bag, and then you need a flee the fire bag.
Yes, I do.
Different bag, or grab them both.
Yeah. Because I'm hoping that if the fire started, it's going to hit this wall first. There is some concrete, so maybe it'll slow it down. I don't know. I don't know anything about fire. But that it's going to come this way. So I have a time to get out of my house, my apartment. Also, my Grandpa Bear would come with me. That was one thing, like Grandpa Bear used to come with me to school every day in case there was a fire in my house. Obviously, I have a little anxiety about things happening to things. So I used to take my Grandpa Bear with me everywhere in case there was an emergency and I couldn't get to it. And then I used to, if I went
out. It's a stuffed animal?
It was a stuffed animal that I've had since when my grandfather was dying, someone gave him like a get well bear. And at his funeral, my grandmother had it on the stairs for me because I was like 5 or 6. And I've had it ever since, and I sometimes sleep with it, and I rub its leg, and it's missing one eye. But, when I used to travel, I would make, if I didn't bring it with me, I used to make my ex, promise me that if anything happened, Grandpa Bear, which I never should have trusted him with Grandpa Bear. I realize that now. But so now I take him with me, everywhere. I don't take him with me to work, but I used to take him with me to school every day and stuff and just keep him in the bag. But so Grandpa Bear is coming. But my goal was if I can get to the hallway, right? If I can get to the hallway, that means I can get to the parking garage. If I can get to the parking garage, that means I can get to my car.
You got to get your car out of the fire.
And I don't know if the gate, opens if there's a fire. I don't know. My goal was to get out and just drive to my cousin's house. Because at least, I know I have a place to go here.
But if the fire doesn't stop there, your cousin's house will be next.
Right, that's true. She's way up north, so it'll take a little longer.
Just kidding. I'm just snowballing your anxiety.
It's fine. I mean, I have anxiety about my anxiety likes to is really good at a job. So even when I think I'm calm, my anxiety will find something to be like, nah, you got to be worried about this right now. Like,
yeah, anxiety finds a way.
Yep. The thing is, like, it just means anxiety is doing its job. Like, that's anxiety. My job, anxiety is like, needs a raise. It's really good at its, it's really good at what it does. But talking about, and so, yeah, so that was my thing. So I didn't sleep that night. My sleep has been terrible. And I had to do a presentation on Tuesday. And I didn't sleep Monday night. I didn't feel good Tuesday. I actually can't. I've been getting sick, like stomach stuff a lot. So I canceled teaching Tuesday morning, my yoga class. And but I got my presentation done. There were some mistakes, whatever. But we had to do for my internship class, we had to do a 10 to 15 minute presentation on something multicultural in mental health care.
Are you teaching a yoga class?
I teach two privates.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're fine. They're both in Athens. I need to, like, there's one that I really want to find the right teacher for this person because it's just exhausting me teaching it. And it's an adult with special needs, and either I have to do it on Zoom or go to their house. And I need to find someone who's, if you know anybody, who'd be good teaching someone with special needs.
I'll put the feelers up.
Okay. So I had to do this multicultural presentation, and I'm like, what multicultural thing am I going to do? Like, and let's make it fun. Like, I wanted it to be interesting, right? Because that's just me. So I was like, oh, I could do, you know, what do I, something, I didn't want to really do, I don't know. I was just debating what so I picked my multicultural group, and I did female sex workers.
Okay.
So, which, like, everyone, you know, people were very interested in my topic. I got a point off on my presentation for the actual PowerPoint I turned in because there were some errors. I always have errors. I never edit.
They're called slideshows now. We don't call them PowerPoints anymore.
Okay.
Or do they call them PowerPoints in college?
I think they just say presentation.
My wife asked my daughter, or like one of, you know, like a third grader, like, have you made any interesting PowerPoints? And the girl was like, the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, slideshows. And she was like, oh, yeah, yeah. I do that all the time.
Because PowerPoint used to be like the thing you use, but now it's like Canva and...
Canva is what she said she used. And then Google Slides.
Yeah, I use Google Slides.
Yeah.
Or Canva.
So you made a PowerPoint with Canva?
I did a slideshow with, I did a presentation with Canva.
Mm-hmm.
On.
You're so hip. You're so with
it. I know. I feel really good. Yeah, mental health care for sex workers, for female sex workers. And I did it. The focus was on women who choose to be in sex work and the misconceptions and the myths and why they don't, you know, and about the mental health care and mostly about biases by counselors and horror phobia. And,
is it the culture of sex work? Is that what you were going for? Because, like, usually when people say multicultural, it means, like, racial heritage,
it's
right?
Not, and for mental health care, it's any group that can be marginalized. Yeah. Like, females are considered a multicultural group.
So. I get that. I think just sometimes it gets multicultural becomes the generic term for ethnic.
Right. No, and this is just supposed to be, like, a marginalized group, you know, like, or a diverse. I did it as like a marginalized group, which works in multiculturalism. So, but this, my spin was like, because we're supposed to talk about what theories you use. And my whole thing was like, sex workers aren't necessarily coming to therapy because they're sex workers. Like, there's a bias that they have. There's also legal issues. And I got to I spoke to some sex workers before I turned it in, which just happened to happen at that time because I'm trying to work with this organization. So I got to ask them a few questions. One offered to come and speak to my class. I was like, in my head, I was like, you want to do the presentation? Because that sounds awesome. Like, you can just, but here's my presentation. But yeah, it was really cool. Everyone loved it. I got really good feedback. People think I'm cool.
Yeah, you're cool. That's a cool topic for you, too. I feel like you're really comfortable getting down with some sex work.
Yeah, and I kind of, it makes me, like, think about, like, I've said all along that I want to do sex therapy, which part of me still does, right? There's a part, I just don't want to do the full training to be a technical, like a certified sex therapist, because it's another like $10,000. Maybe I'll do that down the road. But I would love to continue working with sex workers, because that's different than sex therapy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I wonder how that would shake down. That seems like, I bet that sex work can be a lucrative career, but you might have to do some sort of pro bono, like sliding scale for payment.
I think it would depend on like, yes, it depends on like where you're doing sex work. But I also, what I want to do is like to empower, like that my, that people who come and work with me know that sex workers are safe to work with me. That have either like fantasize, you know, like having some fantasy about them because they do sex work, or because, or put my own biases like, oh, what you're doing is immoral. Like none of those things. Like I want to be an advocate and that as well.
Right, right.
I mean, I do
not
have
like the dudes are like, can you take a look at my dick?
Yeah, my dick's like too. My dick's so big, I can't.
Can you make sure it's not too big by looking at it?
Yeah, can you tell me? Yeah, no, I think it'll be, should I say it? Okay, I'll say it, because no one's going to do it. Here's my dream.
Oh, it's like, this is copyright Rachel.
This is my next business model. I love doing telehealth, and I want to continue doing telehealth. But then I was thinking, what if I had a part-time satellite office in a strip club?
Yeah.
So people may not like think about therapy or have time, right? Before or after work, we can do have like therapy sessions.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be, that's a cool idea. It should be like a part of the strip club's model.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Build a room, you know, instead of like a back room for hanky panky, like a back room for, really getting into it, therapy.
Yeah, I think it would be fantastic, and it works with their schedule, and, you know, give me my side gig that I do. So anyway, that was the plan, but of course, like, as I think about it, I'm like, would that work? I don't know. But I'm really excited to get involved with, I actually need to message this woman back about meeting up to talk more about how I can get involved with their nonprofit.
I almost feel like being a person who profits off the sex industry, you would have to be very careful about where you did it. You might have to go to like Nevada or a more, you know, like New Jersey, even like wherever there's like liberal sex work laws.
As long as like it's the legality thing, but if there's strip clubs here, then I can be in a strip club because sex work is an umbrella term, right? Really, like it's anything from. And not everyone calls themselves sex workers. Sex workers in the umbrella can be OnlyFans, people who sell feet pictures, people who sell their underwear. All that goes under.
I understand, yeah. You know? I'm just saying that a sex work therapist, putting it in quotes, not because of you, but because that would be the best way to launder the all cash business that they have. Through a legit organization.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even if you're an in-house sex therapist, I'm sure people have tried that, and it's not an actual. You know, it's just a front for taking the taking the cash and getting it into the system.
Yeah, and there's definitely some. Like, this is just the beginning plan. This is just a seed. Yeah. I think there's a lot of legal issues. There's a lot of legality.
I'm going to start like a marijuana therapy group where people who smoke a lot of weed and need to talk about it. And then they just pay me in cash and then.
In cash and weed?
Yeah. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm not a therapist. I don't have that in me. I don't have the ability to. I mean, there are a few people I will listen to and I'm a good listener. But I don't think that I could make listening to people my job, you know? Like,
I think you could. I think you could.
No, I could. I just don't think that it would be good for my mental health.
Gotcha. I don't like, you know? I'm realizing, so for my semester to finish internship one, right, I needed 120 direct hours 180 indirect hours. I have all my indirect hours already for the semester, and we are currently on week, let's see, what week are we on? We are on week, where am I? We're on like week 9 right now. We're in the middle of week 9. So, and I already have, I will be at 120 direct hours next week. So I still have 7 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So yes, if you say like, I am, my friend called me last night, who's a therapist, and she's like, I'm a little worried about you, about having burnout. So like on Wednesdays, I see 8 therapy clients and 1 coaching client.
Right. So I go, do you have a therapist like that you use?
Not at the moment.
You see that, I think that's important.
It is.
And I feel like if I were to be in therapy, that is, that would be the hardest part for me. I don't have a way to offload all the shit that people dump on me.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I don't drink that much. I don't do any like dangerous rock climbing or anything like that. I guess I run. Running is kind of therapeutic. Yeah. But really, that energy has to go somewhere. And this is just my views of like how I mean, it's like a scientific idea, like conservation laws, where somebody like puts the energy out there and then you take it in. It has to like
go. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And go. Usually my go-to was like, one of my go-tos was the gym, but I've been so exhausted that I haven't been feeling that great. So I haven't been going to the gym as much. I do need to get a therapist. I like in my schedule, I'm like, I don't even know where I put that right now. Part of the problem. So thankfully, I'm very close with one of the other interns.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk a lot and like support each other. We have peer consultation. I know none of this is therapy. I have another friend who's a therapist. We talk a lot. But yes, no, I need to have a therapist. Even if it's like every other week, it's a matter of right now I'm just trying to get through school.
Yeah.
And I don't
know. No, I get that. And I get that like crunch at the end of your senior year. Just like, I know I need all these things, but I'm just going to wait until I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I definitely have like a priority based to-do list where it's like, I have all these things to do, but they have to be done in this order or else it's not going to work out. And like, I need to get this big thing off my plate before I can handle any of these little things. And like, it works because like, once I get the big thing off my plate, I can like knock the little things out really quickly.
Yeah.
But also I feel like it's, I feel like somebody's got to be able to do it better than me. Like that, it almost feels like a mental illness where it's like, I cannot do anything until I wash the car or it's something like that. I don't really wash my car. So that's a bad example, but
no, it's a good example.
It almost feels like, I don't have enough mental agility to juggle all of the things on my to-do list, or I'm so accustomed to routine that I cannot be comfortable like jumping out of the routine or, you know, doing things out of order because
I get that.
Yeah. I was talking about getting back from vacation.
Oof.
And coming back to work and how I'm not ready to leap into anything. Like I have these things I need to do, but if I do them right now, while I am not enthusiastic about them, it's going to be more work for me later when I am enthusiastic about it to undo all of the like shit work that I put in just to do work. And then, actually do the good work that I think I'll do later. And that might be a fallacy, but
no, I think that
self-employed people.
Yeah, that's, and I'm still semi-self-employed, and I totally get that. And it's so hard, and when you're not, it's a lot, and it's hard getting back from vacation and getting back into the swing of things, and like And I still get it, like, my, like, I have a set routine of how I do things. And there's, like, things that, like, I want to get done. But if I only have, like, a two-hour break between clients, for me, that's not enough time to do anything, like, important, yeah. You know? And I like to do things in a certain way, or they won't get done.
Yeah.
So, but I do, I think, I do need to start heading back to the gym again, where I have to stop, like, feeling like crap all the time, which sleep would help. But, like, what the fuck is sleep? I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, dude, you got to get your swimsuit bod ready for the socials.
Yeah, because I do so much social shit. I do nothing. I mean, my lack of social life is.
You do some socials. I think you do at least as much as I do.
I go to work and talk to people.
No, socials like Insta and.
Oh, see, I'm thinking like. I do. I haven't been on social as much lately. That's something that's on my, because I haven't been like feeling it and I don't want to put out bad shit. So, but I need to get, I want to get back into the social world soon. So I will be.
Well, being on the socials and going to the gym are like,
yeah,
they work in tandem.
They do. I do have to, that's the other thing. It's so easy to just be at the gym and get a quick pic or a quick video and just like, boop, there's your social for the day. Yeah. All right, anything, do you have some stuff coming up that you want to share?
I think there's stuff I'll talk to you about. I think I talked to you about like recording little blurbs for each of the podcasts and then kind of mixing them together, doing some more cross-promotional stuff. I've also revamped the podcasting website. That you'll notice when you upload this episode that it's a little bit different. Excellent. Looks a little cleaner, a little nicer. And I think eventually we'll open it up to subscribers or the public to also use. So
excellent. That's fantastic.
Kind of working on that stuff.
That's fantastic. And y'all send us any questions you have to my so-called mess podcast or go to my so-called mess Instagram or wherever. Find us. Send us your questions. Send us your thoughts. We'd love to hear from y'all. Until next time, peace out.
Oh, yeah.